from the Triple M studios.
God, it's all happening.
This is the Marty Shear Gold Show. Triple M.
How'd you get your middle name?
One, two,
mine's
three,
Donald
three.
After my grandfather.
Yeah.
Mum's father, Don. Lovely man.
Yeah.
Lovely man.
Mm.
But it's not that exciting.
My youngest brother, his middle name is Bjorn, and Mum and Dad named him after Bjorn Borg.
Well, that's exciting.
Now that's fun.
Yeah. Now that's interesting.
Yeah, J. Bjorn.
A baby born outside a hospital has had car park listed on his birth certificate as his official place of birth after his mother could not make it inside. Now, in a nod to his unusual birth, she's given him the middle name Parker.
Isn't that
That's nice. Yeah.
That is nice.
Kelly said the amazing staff at the hospital were quick to come out and deliver George, and they kept her calm during the very scary experiences. The word come appears a lot in this story.
Too many times.
I was just across the zebra crossing from the entrance to the hospital, right where you pay for the car parking.
Oh,
right.
Lordy.
My mum rang the ambulance. They were very quick in coming out. When they turned up, I was obviously happy
to see them.
Don't you just walk over? I was happy to see them, and I thought I'd be able to make it to the hospital, but the midwife told me his head was already out.
Oh, oh, no.
Nothing to do with the baby. It was one of the guys on the door.
Continue.
I enjoyed it.
You always do.
The one constant.
They had to lay me back down there for the delivery, and they rushed him straight into the hospital, and I followed shortly behind him.
Wow.
Little car park George, she changed the middle name to Parker. How'd you get your middle name, Tom?
Well, my parents went on a trip to Tasmania, and they went to a graveyard, and they saw it on a tombstone, if that's what they're still called.
They are, yeah.
The name is Lockerin.
Oh.
Spelled Lougheran, I think.
Yeah.
I've never heard it before, and it's got to be the worst I've ever heard.
And that's your middle name, Tom?
Lockerin.
Yeah, my middle name. My brother got John and Michael, and I've got Lockerin.
And Lockerin.
Lockerin. Oh.
What does it mean, Loz? Did you see that there? Go back
it's
one
Gaelic.
Screen.
Gaelic.
Everything's Gaelic, but what does his name mean?
It means descendant of the person from Lakeland.
Ah, you're a Lakeland man, Tom.
Like Lock.
Maybe.
It's like Lachlan, I guess, just a different kind of...
Man of the Lock.
Lakeland Marshland.
Yeah.
So you would have been a Lakeland or a Marshland man.
Yeah.
But they just saw it on the tombstone.
Yeah.
Tom's right, it is awful.
It's a terrible,
it's terrible.
It's not no, no
sorry,
one's
Tom.
Questioning that.
Thanks, Tom. Sylvia, how'd you get your middle name?
So, born on March the 19th, it's the Feast of St. Joseph. My dad was called Giuseppe.
Yep.
My mum wanted Giuseppina.
Mm-hmm.
The nurse, you know, in a nice Australian hospital, couldn't spell Giuseppina in 1972, so she said Pina instead.
Pina, P-I-N-A.
Pina Colada.
Yes, thank God, thank God.
Look, thank God. I think Pina is, and this is just my opinion, a lot better than Giuseppina.
Is Giuseppina, yeah.
What do you got, William?
Is Giuseppina a thing?
Well, I think it's a combination of things.
I think you usually, if like it's very common in Italian tradition to be named after one parent. Our Greek resident guy out there
is Greek boys,
Sylvia, and you adapt it. You adapt it to suit the gender. Like, yeah.
Any truth to that, Sylvia?
Sorry.
No, Matthew. If you like pina colada. I'm gonna throw my phone at you.
I just wanted to confirm. Anyone's gonna know Sylvia would.
It's true.
Giuseppina.
Just a peanut.
I can't find any proof of
Giuseppina. Could be one of the worst names I've ever heard. But it's like a combo of her dad and her mum.
Well, like Sharon Welling. He was named after his parents, Sharon and Jared.
Sharon. Yeah. That's exactly what's happened here.
Yeah,
it's Giuseppina. Hello, Andrew.
Hi, guys. First time, long time.
Good on you, Andrew.
So this is not my child, but my cousin's child was due in the start of May.
Yeah.
And he made an agreement with his wife that... if their boy was born on May the 4th, Star Wars Day, they could have a Star Wars themed middle name. So his name is Vader.
Isn't Vader the girl from My Girl? Vader.
Vader. Darth Vader. I've never heard the name Vader outside of the Star Wars series of films.
No. Anyway, they love it. His son loves it, so. Yeah.
It's a fun one. How'd you get your middle name, Aaron?
I'm named after my dad's weed dealer.
The Marty Shear Gold Show. Triple M. It's the Dance Academy.
Who are we putting in, Marty?
Oklahoma judge.
Yep.
Oh. He was caught scrolling.
She.
She was caught. Sorry, I assumed it was a man. My apologies to all the ladies that are part of the legal system.
Straight out of the gate.
Straight out of the gate.
Your foot in it.
I've just been a misogynistic pig. Well, that's what you get if you involve me. An Oklahoma judge was caught scrolling on her phone during a murder trial. She's resigned. Judge Tracy Soderstrom from Lincoln County District stepped down on Friday after being investigated for inappropriate and insensitive behaviour during the trial.
Order.
Thank you, Troy. Thank you. Soderstrom was caught sending more than 500 texts and scrolling through her Facebook during jury selection, opening statements and testimony. Christian Tyler Martzell was convicted for second-degree manslaughter for the 28th death of his girlfriend. Mm. So it was an awful case.
It's terrible.
Yeah. And that's why the judge should be paying attention.
Absolutely.
This is a serious crime. Mm. The allegations around it certainly are serious. Judith Danker. Who the hell is she?
The mother of the person who...
God almighty, there's 17 names.
I know.
Names.
Dust in here.
Do you want another tissue?
No, I'm all right. Judith Danker tearfully speaks in the stand.
Yeah.
The Lincoln County District Judge can be seen scrolling on a phone. There she is. She's got a little phone under the desk there.
It's just a marketplace.
While the mother... is bawling her eyes out.
Oh.
When Danker reaches for a tissue to wipe her eyes and blow her nose, the judge momentarily glances over before looking back down at her phone.
That's horrendous.
She's got a job to do.
Looking at like Minions memes or something.
Oh. What could she possibly be doing?
Well, she was on Facebook. And she sent 500 texts?
Put her in.
I've sent 500 texts in my life.
Mate, you've sent 500 texts to me in a night.
Oh, geez, all right. But what about the photo?
Yeah.
That's more than text.
Da-da-da-da.
Boing.
On Triple M, this is the Marty Sheargold Show.
90s tech is still fun. And we're asking the question, are you still using any 90s tech? Maybe you've got a Nintendo kicking around.
Oh, yeah. I have to say, I have a Nintendo 64.
Yeah, the Nintendo was brilliant.
Tough on the thumb.
In what sense?
The joystick. It's a very grippy kind of joystick that can really, if you're aiming forward a lot.
Mm. Okay, well, I don't know enough about gaming, but I enjoyed the Nintendo.
Actually, my friend is a nurse and she still gets paged. She has a pager.
Oh. Tim Ross had a pager for years. American Rosso's Tim Ross. I mean, how unfortunate to have to describe Tim Ross as American Rosso's Tim Ross.
Yeah,
but that's how people would know him.
Yeah.
He had a pager. Which was hilarious.
Yeah.
It was like he was a brain surgeon.
And you had to go and make the phone call and ring when it beeped.
Yeah, all you're doing is ringing a local comedy club to say, no, I can't do half an hour. the Japanese government is finally letting go of floppy disks and CD-ROMs.
Oh.
I didn't even know this was still a thing.
No.
It recently announced amendments to laws requiring the use of the physical media formats for submissions to the government for things like alcohol, business, mining, aircraft. Yeah. Who cares?
Mm.
The Minister for Digital Transformation, Tara Connor, announced the war on floppy disks.
You know, using floppy disks in high school was the easiest way to get out of submitting an assignment.
Why? Because I never did floppy disks. Well, I know nothing about
them. We had floppy disks and I'd be like, I gave it, here's the disk, but you'd just would put nothing on there and you'd be like, oh no, was it not on there? Oh, I'll put it on another one for you.
Oh, and
you
just buy yourself another day.
Or you just put all it in like some horrible format.
Yeah, you'd blame the formatting or something.
Yeah.
So, it's encrypted.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I did floppy disks. We're a similar age.
Floppy disks for what?
In the computer lab to save your work on.
I never set foot in a computer lab.
Oh, I didn't have a choice.
Anyone that did, we would bully them as they left.
Weren't you taught how to use computers?
No.
You just taught him copy-paste.
That's true.
I left school in 1989.
Floppy disks have been around since the 70s, I'm pretty sure.
No, they've been around, but honestly, we had a typewriting room that had like four computers in it. And if you went in there, we would say you played Dungeons and Dragons and that you were a dick.
We had to. We had to go to the computer lab.
I look at you now, not knowing how to copy anything.
Yeah. Who won, though? Who won this game of life? Me or Nettie Nerdlinger?
Could be in crypto or something.
Yeah, you'd have done all right.
Oh, yeah. How'd crypto go?
It's come back.
Has it?
Has it?
To $180. That's when I bought in.
Are you still using 90s tech, Kyle?
Yeah, I'm still using my PlayStation 1 console from 97, from my 9th birthday.
Love that.
And what sort of games do you play on that?
Crash Bandicoot?
The original Crash is a favourite. The original Formula 1 game, being a motorsport fan.
Right. Hmm.
Destruction Derby. There's quite a lot of them, but I still love it.
Was
still
FIFA have a great part time of on that? It.
Mm. What was that? Sorry,
FIFA Soccer. I played FIFA Soccer for a while, but I can't remember.
Yeah,
what.
Was that FIFA Sega? Series was no. The FIFA series is on PS1, and Actua Soccer is another one. So,
first FIFA was like early 90s, 93.
Was it really?
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Oh my god!
Yeah. Good on you, Kyle.
Wow.
Awesome, guys. Thanks heaps.
Thanks, Kyle.
Yeah, come on, you. Oh, no, thank you, Kyle.
Are you still using 90s tech, Rose?
Yes, I am, in a way. So a bit of a spin on it. So every iPhone I've had since the iPhone came out years ago, I've always had to download the classic Nokia 6610 ringtone.
Like that, do-ga-do-do, that one?
That is absolutely correct. And when it goes off on the job site, everybody looks at me and is like, is this guy still carrying a brick around?
Like, no.
Yeah, but you're not. You've just downloaded the ringtone.
Absolutely. I'm playing it smart, but I can't get rid of it. It'll be there for years.
Good. Have you downloaded Snake?
Of course I've got Snake on my phone. That's a silly question.
Whacked.
Thank you, Reese.
Thought you had an ally.
Thought you had a mate.
Still using 90s tech.
I turned on you. The Marty Sheargold Show. Triple M. What useless degree did you get from university, and are you in fact using it?
Yeah.
Or did you walk away from it? I tried to get an arts degree at the ANU in Canberra. That was a disaster.
Yeah.
Did 2 years of it.
Oh, no. None of us are using our degrees.
Well, I do a little bit, but not a huge amount. I did a Bachelor of Business in property and marketing.
Oh, yeah, you use
so
that.
I do a little bit.
You do a bit of that.
But most of the people I went gone. Most of my mates who I went to uni with are doing something completely different, not using it.
It's because you're making a decision as an 18, 19 year old.
Not even. That's right. 17.
You have no idea what's ahead of you in life.
Yeah.
I only did arts because it was all I could get into.
Yeah. I did creative arts and then I did teaching.
You would have been a good teacher, though.
Not at maths, obviously.
Obviously not at maths. That's why I stopped the degree.
What subject would you have taught?
English.
Yeah.
Drama.
Wordsmith. Drama.
I'm allowed to be a drama teacher.
You would have been good at drama.
I would have been a good prep
interpersonal
teacher.
Drama you would have been great at.
Yeah, I would.
Creating drama.
Yeah, just like doing lessons about Matt and Jess.
What? I would have been a good prep teacher.
You would have been excellent.
Excellent. Yeah,
you
would have.
Good at painting. No, well, that's what you do in prep, don't you?
No, you learn to spell.
Not really. A Reddit user has asked, those who got a useless degree, what do you do now? And this is a bit of fun. I got my BA in sociology, Bachelor of Arts in sociology. I'm applying to mortuary school to become a funeral director.
No one's expecting that.
You're a fair way away. Got a psych degree and now I'm an electrician.
Oh
that's
good.
That's good.
Yeah.
I have a degree in accounting that I used for 6 months 30 years ago.
Yeah. Mm.
My roommate was a flight attendant and was having a blast. I decided to apply, got accepted, spent 10 years travelling the world until I had kids. Once they were older, I got into property management.
Oh, there you go. Great 10 years.
Most people have multiple careers.
Yes. Well, now they do. My dad barely graduated 5 years of college with an English degree. He wanted a business degree but was declined. He couldn't find a job after graduation, saw a newspaper ad for a concrete gig, learned how to do it, and after a few years on the job, he quit and started his own concrete empire.
Good on him. What a great story that
empire.
Is.
What do you do for a living, Catherine?
Right now, I've been a public servant for nearly 20-plus years. I actually, did a diploma of arts in small companies and community theatre because I was going to be a performer.
Yes, nice.
And I went from that to being a bit bored and joining the army.
Wow.
So, you've crowbarred a few careers in there, Catherine.
Just a few and being in the public service, obviously you change jobs and do a few things. Mm. But my mum used to say that I went from, you know, performing on a stage to putting on camo paint and being out in the field. So
So when you were serving, where were you?
I joined as a reservist. So I say I was in for 5 minutes, and then I did a little bit of full-time service in recruiting and stuff, and then I just went into the normal public service. So,
good on you, Catherine.
Mm. Yeah. Done.
Public service feels hard.
It does.
It's a lot of hours answering to ministers and secretaries and thinking,
I don't think you'd go very well with that, Mark.
No, because I'd be looking at the budget thinking, why would you let Max have anything to do with this? He's a dead shit.
Max.
The Marty Sheargold Show is on Triple M. This is the Marty Sheargold Show.
Ouch me eye. These are my favourite phoners. Everybody knows they are.
You know we're on when we're doing ouch me eye.
Ouch me eye. How did you hurt your eye? What happened to your eye? Eyes are very, very, very sensitive.
Yeah.
We've only got two of them, so you can afford to lose one.
Yeah. Well, no.
Don't lose the second one. Then you sort of... You know, all of that.
Yeah.
Construction site accident has resulted in a man needing life-saving surgery to remove a nail that had gotten lodged in his brain.
Oh. No.
30-year-old construction worker in Malaysia was brought in with a loss of vision and bleeding in the left eye after he accidentally fired a malfunctioning nail gun into his own eye.
Oh, my God.
An eye would have to be the worst thing to have something go into.
Oh, for sure.
Would have to be.
Yeah. Oh, I agree.
I've told you about my friend Dustin, who, was my friend in high school, who's at a sleepover and someone flung one of those, plastic stars that you used to put on the roof.
Oh, that's right.
And it literally into his eye.
Oh, wow. It was like a throwing star.
Yeah.
A Japanese throwing star. He was using a pneumatic nail gun without wearing protective goggles.
That's your first problem.
What an idiot. When the nail gun jammed, he's checked it through the gun barrel and accidentally he's gone, why is this not working? Turned the gun around to himself to have a quick look at it, and that's when it fired a nail into his eye.
Close range. That's got to be the worst.
Why isn't this bloody...
Put your goggles on.
So I don't even think from that range that your goggles are going to help.
No, your goggles are attached to you now.
Yeah, you've just nailed goggles to your eye. To your eye.
To your eye.
To your eye. Oi, oi, Captain.
Would you accept... Okay.
I just turned into a pirate for this one.
We're doing ouch me eye. Am I confusing it if we just say where'd the nail get you as
No.
Okay, forget what I said.
Ouch me eye. How did you hurt your eye? What went wrong with your eye? How are your eyes? The man was conscious throughout the whole ordeal but complained of a headache. I'm not going to lie. I've got a slight headache.
Oh, really?
What happened, Dan, to your eye?
Yeah, how you going? I was grinding a bit of metal and a shaving come off in my eye.
Yeah.
Ooh. And anyway, typical bloke sort of neglected it for about a week, two weeks.
Yeah. Mm.
And then I went to the doctor's because it all swelled up and got infected, I think. And the doctor grabbed the tweezers and he went to pull it out and it snapped in half.
What? Oh, no. What, the shard that had come off?
Yeah, half of it was stuck in there still.
Oh, my God. And how did he get it out?
He said, oh, you got to go to the emergency ward.
Uh-huh. Said no one ever. I'd rather die than go there.
Dan did go there. And how was it?
So anyway, I went. I was no good. I was good in the end. But anyway, I went in. He stuck me head in this like vice thing and said, "Mate, the only way to get this out is I've got to drill it out."
Oh my God!
Could they not have put you to sleep for that?
Nah, I had to just watch it.
And so obviously it's a very tiny little drill. And did he get it out?
It is. It is still a drill bit though.
Yeah. I'm not arguing, Dan. But did he get the thing out?
Well, anyway, he had his first go, and I just launched my head backwards. And he's like, did that hurt? And I'm
mate, you're drilling my eye.
But also, it's
You're about to put a drill bit in my eye, and I pretty much just shit myself. Sorry.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's emotional.
So he had another crack, and he got it out.
Yeah.
And, my eye's sweet.
That was it.
Great story.
Happy ending.
Got it out, my eye's sweet.
Happy ending, Marty.
Yeah, always are, mate.
On Triple M, this is the Marty Sheargold Show.
We're just quickly going to ask the question, have you ever played against someone famous?
Yeah.
Australian men's cricket coach Andrew McDonald made a cameo appearance for Geelong's fifth grade side, Geelong West's fifth grade side.
All right.
He's just strolled out to the middle. He played four tests for Australia. He played against South Barwon, listed as fill-in on the official scorecard. He came in at number five, scored 62, and the Rams posted 290 in their first innings. He was eventually dismissed by Jai Walters. Well, there's one for Jai to be talking about down at the pub.
Right. Yeah,
you won't believe who I just bowled out, Andrew McDonald.
Did you?
Retired 9 years ago. He was a good cricketer. He was a good first-class cricketer, Andrew McDonald. Pull his stats up. Let's have a look at him.
That's right. Lauren's doing that at the moment.
Oh, yeah, because I know how to get someone's stats up.
Oh, gee. What happened between you two there? What was wrong?
Four tests, average of 21.
No, Lauren's got this.
Give us his first
hit
class.
Of 50.
I wasn't going to read it.
First class, 95. First class, average of 39.5.
Yeah, with a high score of 176.
Not bad.
Take wickets. He was an all-rounder, wasn't he? Where's his wickets column? Scooted over.
Yep, he had five wicket hauls.
He took 200 first-class wickets.
Yeah.
Bloody handy cricketer. 200 first-class wickets at 28. You'd be happy with that. Hello, Dean.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good, day, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good. I've got to do it. Long time, first time.
Good on you, Dean.
You guys must get sick of doing that.
No, never.
Be surprised.
Yeah.
This is a club.
Okay. So, Bowie Pub back in the day, putting money on the pool table, a couple of big blokes having a good run.
Yeah.
We get up there and start playing, and one of my mates goes, I'm pretty sure that's Alex Ashenko and Anthony Rocker from the Kangas.
Bang. Oh,
real big blokes.
Real big blokes.
Yeah, yeah. And sure enough, it was. And I said, oh, tell them you're a North supporter, blah, blah, blah. And top blokes, down to earth, but killed their winning streak, which is great.
Well done. Snuck that in just at the end.
Yeah. What do you got on Insta, Will?
With heaps on Insta. Jarv reckons played Cole Reimers in the twos, the former Essendon player. Prick kick 13.
Just a lazy 13 in the twos.
Jonathan used to play tennis against Ash Barty 20 years back.
Wow.
So Ash would have been pretty young at the time.
Yeah.
And Naomi says, my brother-in-law played footy against the Claremont serial killer, Bradley Edwards.
Oh, the fruity guy who ended up being part of, was it Life Saving Australia or something over there? He was some sort of club guy. I can't remember what he was into.
Ever played against someone famous is the question. Matt, who have you played against?
Hi, Matt.
Hello, Matt.
Like the other guys, long time, first time.
Oh, good on you, Matt.
Yeah, that is awesome. Years and years ago, playing up a game of cricket in Sydney, we played against Rob Carlton. And I don't know if you know, when the batting team's batting, they send out a couple of umpires. So he considered himself quite the comedian until he came out to bat. And he was at the non-striker's end backing up. And it was one of those instances where the batter hit one straight, touches the bowler's hand and goes onto the stumps and ran out. And so we got him a diamond duck. And we'd recognised him from the ads back in those days. He wasn't as famous then as he is now.
Yeah.
And so as he's walking from the two, his new ads, well, give that man a new.
Yeah, right. we had to Google him because I've heard his name, but I wasn't sure what he looked like.
Yeah.
And so he's...
You know him lately. He's been in... He did that How's That thing. He played Kerry Packer in that How's That thing.
Yeah, that's him. Rob Carlton.
Yeah,
you know him if you saw him,
yeah.
No, I can see him now.
Yeah.
I mean, I was thinking sport, but you've gone...
No, I love that.
Low-level actor.
Thank you, man.
The Marty Sheargold Show. Triple M.
I'm relying on the ladies here to give us a bell. What did you crave through your pregnancy?
Mm.
This is not traditional Triple M fare.
No.
But it's fun. Perhaps the men can get involved in this as well and tell us what their partner wanted.
We had Samuel on at Marty Sheargold Show already contributing. My wife craved KFC chicken skin.
Yum.
Just skin.
Just the skin.
That's so good. They should sell that. And I've said
honestly,
this before.
We have said that. Yeah.
Buckets of it.
I know people that are vegetarians that when they're pregnant, they crave meat.
Yeah.
Because you probably desperately need the iron too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Got a whole other person inside you. But what's your excuse, Matthew?
I just love meat.
I know you do. Miranda Kerr has revealed one of her pregnancy cravings in an Instagram video, which we now think might be SponCon.
A little bit of an ad.
Yeah.
In the clip, she's laid out on a couch eating a bag of Unreal milk chocolates. I've never even heard of them. Have you? Is this an American thing or is it an Australian thing?
Probably.
Or are they trying to dent their way into the Australian
chocolate
market?
Establish gems.
Because as she's lying there, that is very delicately placed.
Yeah.
It's like it has to be spawned.
Sitting
there. Miranda recently opened up about some of her bizarre pregnancy cravings. She was craving a lot of citrus.
Oh.
Which doesn't seem... Grapefruit is hard work.
Grapefruit is bitter.
Dad used to have a grapefruit for breakfast.
Yeah,
so did mine.
Yeah, that was common with a bit of sugar on top. She doesn't say add, so maybe it's not.
Maybe she just loves it.
Just loves it. Hey.
They're very organic. Like, they're still very healthy, you know. I mean, as healthy as
I mean, this is hardly a pregnancy craving, is it?
Yeah,
grapefruit and fresh water with lemon? I mean, is that a pregnancy craving or is that...
It's a Troy craving.
Is that a, is that a prison gang?
Come on, Miranda.
I mean, honestly.
I think...
A craving is like barbecue ribs.
Yeah, or like peanut butter and bacon.
Yeah, ice cream and...
And popcorn.
Nice.
Okay. I like that. Salt. It's usually two things, like something that surprises you.
Chelsea, how are you going?
Good, thanks. How are you guys?
Wonderful, Chelsea. Mate. What did you crave when you were pregnant?
Mine was cold tinned corn.
Yum, though.
Oh, cold tinned corn. Was it sweet?
It was sweet, and there was something about the cold juice that really hit the mark.
Oh, so you were having the juice. You weren't just pouring that down the sink.
It was both. You got to drink it and then spoon the rest out.
Oh,
you wouldn't eat the corn.
Both. You got to drink it, scoop the corn.
And then eat it.
I had twins, so it was all sorts of messed up. That was my go-to.
It doesn't sound great.
It sounds awful.
If I've got corn in a recipe, I start snacking on it.
I'll eat that corn straight from the can off.
Yeah. Will you eat the juice, though?
Not
drink the juice?
The juice is a bit ill.
Yeah. Oh, I'd have the juice.
Nice one, Chelsea. Hello, Casey.
Good morning. How are you?
Wonderful, hey, mate. How are you, buddy?
Good, thanks.
Casey, did you have a pregnancy craving?
Well, this wasn't actually my craving. This was my sister's craving, and it's the weirdest craving ever. She craved toothpaste and soap.
Soap?
Soap. What's that called again?
Pica.
Pica. Yeah, that's a thing. And she would nibble on a bar of soap? Surely she's not eating hand wash.
No, definitely not hand wash. It was definitely the bar of soap, She used to laugh. She'd ring me all the time going, oh, my God, this craving for soap. It's been crazy.
Just had a bit of the dust. Hang on, she's eating the soap.
Was she swallowing it or was it just the feeling of, like, biting it and chewing?
I think it was the feeling of the taste and the bite, I don't know. Wow. But all I can remember is picking on her and even the toothpaste. But mind you, she does have a McLean smile.
And
she could blow bubbles out her ass.
What else
on Insta as well?
We're doing a few more
do
here.
A couple on Insta.
Yeah. Claire had Maltesers and chocolate paddle pops to the point where we thought the baby was going to come out on the brownish side. She must have had a few of them.
Casual roses.
You
can't actually change the colour of a baby's skin by what you eat.
Maybe if you eat enough carrots.
Hang on, what are you doing?
What?
No, I'm serious. Because when you eat too many carrots, it can change this colour of your own skin.
Can you hear yourself? Can you hear what you're saying?
I'm serious.
Oh, hi, God. Sirius.
On Triple M, this is the Marty Sheargold Show.
Accidental flashes. Where'd you see a boob? Did your boob bust out?
There was a very unfortunate thing that happened at Will's wedding.
Oh, was there? Oh, yes. Did a boob bust out at your wedding?
My other friend, Lauren. She'll be fine.
What?
Can we tell the story?
Two boob bust out?
She had said to me earlier in the day, can you please be on boob watch because I forgot my Hollywood tape. And I was like, absolutely, sister, I've got you. I've got you back.
And you didn't have her back
Well, there's only so much
you can do.
That's right.
Well, you can't follow her around all night.
Well, you're having a good time too,
this
Loz.
This is during the final song of the night. Yeah. Let me turn my brightness up so that you can see.
Is it a boob disaster?
You'll hear Robbie Williams' Angels in the background. So it's a bit of a sing-along.
Sing-along.
You've seen this, haven't you, mate?
I'm not sure if I've seen it.
Oh, yeah.
Both of them out on the dance floor.
Someone's got to say something.
I'm going, Lauren. She's got arms up in the air. She's just got two boobies. Yeah.
Her dress is like if you were wearing a footy scarf.
Mm. Yes.
And then they've just kind of both
just peeked out from behind the badges.
No one else saw
that.
Oh,
no, everyone saw, mate.
No,
they weren't telling it because they wanted to see a boob.
They genuinely didn't.
Wasn't it a bit breezy?
Well, we were inside.
Right,
Tiffany Stratton suffered a wardrobe malfunction on live TV ahead of the WWE's blockbuster event in Perth on Saturday.
Right.
She was qualifying in the upcoming Elimination Chamber in Australia. Give me some background on that.
Oh, well, the Elimination Chamber, this will be the biggest WWE event in Australian history.
Right.
It's like a really big television event for the US.
Tiffany's still fairly new to the main roster. Okay. She beat Selena
Vega.
Vega. On SmackDown. Wow, yeah, there's a lot of
words here
I don't understand.
Yeah.
To get her place in Saturday's Elimination Chamber. It sounds like fun, the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
Is it like a big high-walled thing that you can climb up and jump off and things
like
that?
Yeah, so it's like a cage.
It's an Elimination Chamber.
There's four pods, and if you get pinned, you get eliminated.
Right.
But they can't call it that in Germany, I think we discussed.
Oh, that's
right.
Yeah,
they have a different title.
Oh, you can't call it the Elimination Chamber in Germany.
One particular word.
Right. That's not on.
I have a question. Oh, it's a cage.
Oh, I see. So you everyone's in their own cage. It's very gladiatorial.
It's like in Spider-Man.
Whilst performing a move, Tiffany's bra fell out of position whilst attempting a moonsault.
A moonsault?
It's the other end, I would have thought. What's a moonsault?
A moonsault is a backwards jump where you're flipping.
You flip your head back and your body follows.
Oh, yeah.
This prompted producers to temporarily cut the live feed to black. That's America.
They're so prudish, aren't they?
You see a boob over there and the world unravels. You shoot 14 kids at a school and it's not even news anymore.
It's true. It's bizarre.
It's so interesting. Like, you see one areola and that becomes boob. Like,
do you mean Brendan Favola?
Yes, I mean Brendan Favola.
You see one Brendan Favola.
And you've seen a big boob.
You've seen a giant tit.
I was kidding,
man. We're joking, Fem. Don't come around, mate.
No, stay down there.
Did your boobs bust out, Vicky, or was it somebody else's?
No, it was mine. Wet and wild on the giant slide. Went down with my husband and giant wedgie at the end, and I'm trying to pick the betas out of my rear end, and my husband goes, "Don't worry about that. Your boob's hanging out the front."
Wet and wild. Your wedgie. Oh.
And all the Japanese tourists were taking photos.
Oh, thank God you said that, Vicky.
You don't know where that
was. Never seen anything like
when I hear the word Japanese, unless I'm in control of the following words.
I get a bit nervous.
Yeah. Gets a bit of a Kokoda vibe.
Jeez, Wet and Wild must see some boobs.
Oh, my God. You'd see boobs everywhere at Wet and Wild.
I camped at Wet and Wild for 6 months. Just bird watching.
Mainly tits.
Oh, there's the red-breasted booby.
Yeah.
Again.
Georgie, was it your boobs or someone else's?
It was my girls,
what
unfortunately.
Happened, mate? What happened?
Well, similar to the last caller, I was at Movie World with the kids and the husband, and we went on the Green Lantern ride where it goes upside down, and the girls were unleashed, that wasn't the worst bit. The worst bit is that's when they take the photo.
So
we were all lined up to get the photo. The look of horror on my 13-year-old face. There's my photo there with two giant norgs.
Horror norgs.
Horrible.
Georgie.
You better believe I got the photo.
Can you send it to me? Or is it like...
No, you can't be sending it. Send it to me, Georgie. I'll have
The Marty Sheargold Show is on Triple M. This is the Marty Sheargold Show.
And look who's here, who's joining us, Liam.
Amazing. Here's a little collection of my favourite people.
So lovely to see you. Let's talk about Camper Van Gogh. Let's talk about the name first, Camper Van Gogh.
Mm. Yeah, well, there were too many. So what happened is we got a camper van from Alice Springs to Uluru.
Yes.
Up through Kakadu to Darwin.
Family trip.
3,000 kilometres, family holiday. And in the van, me, my wife and our son.
Yes.
And my mother-in-law.
Yes. Yeah, that's tough.
And my wife's best friend.
Yes. Oh. Who is a lovely lady, but perhaps not required for the whole trip.
No.
Because we know Steph.
We know Steph.
We've heard about this trip.
I've heard a couple of stories about this
You've
trip.
You've all heard about this trip.
Yeah. So 3,000 kilometres with anyone is a long trip.
And it's too many.
Yeah,
it's too many. And it became Camper Van Gogh because... At one point, I was parking the van at a caravan park, and the three women in the back of the van had been drinking for 5 hours.
That's unlike them.
Yeah.
You were starting to lose your patience.
So I had three drunk women telling me how to park the van.
Oh, brilliant.
And I turned to my son, and I said, "I wish I could cut my ears off right now," which he then told his mother, and then she named the van Van Gogh after he wanted to cut my ears off. Yes.
Good conversation.
I'll tell you what. But, you know... I realised, because I've always had great family holidays. My memories as a kid are just joyous of family holidays.
Yeah. And so you were trying to start a tradition of your own.
I absolutely was. But I realised that in every caravan park, there's at least one family that is hating
what they're doing.
Yeah. Which made me think, you know, this is what a dark place my head was in at the time. Right? Of the 3,000 people on board the Titanic, there must have been at least one family that was going, thank God for this.
God, I'd rather be in the water than listen to that bloke again. I get it. You're into coal mining. Shut up, you cock. No, I totally understand that. So Campervan Go is covering the 3,000 kilometres of the family trip in the campervan, which is just brilliant. It's a brilliant area to move in.
Oh, yeah. It was just. And the territory is the only thing that brought us together and made us happy was amazing things like Uluru, Devil's Marbles, Kakadu. Yeah. But the problem is in the Northern Territory, every amazing thing is about 500 kilometres apart. So that's a lot of pain.
How was Uluru? Because I've not been there.
Uluru is extraordinary.
Mm. I'd love to go.
You know the thing I say to people about Uluru? So it's 14 kilometres around.
Is it? I didn't realise it was that far.
It's huge.
But here, get a load of this. What's the tallest building in Melbourne?
The 108. Yeah, Melbourne 108, I think it is. 108 stories.
Melbourne 108, which is the same height as
Uluru.
Are you kidding?
Jeez, that's what it's massive.
So it's hard when you go, what? How is it? But it is. It's huge.
Yeah. I've seen people going around it on a Segway. Is that still possible?
It is indeed.
Thank you. Then I'm in.
You can do it on a Segway. We did it on push bikes.
No, I do it on a bike. I can't walk it.
Kel had the tandem with Lad on the back, the young fella on the back, and I swear he did not pedal once in 14 kilometres.
Lucky Kel.
And it sounds like Kel might have deserved that.
Kel was grinding out. 14 guys.
Three shows only? Is that what I'm reading?
Yes, that's right. Mondays at the basement.
Yep. First 8th, 15th of April. The basement, of course, is part of what is a renovated old European hotel, Morris House, they call it now, Exhibition Street and Little Collins.
That's the one? Yes, it is. Exhibition Little Collins. Look at us thinking together.
There's a lot of comedy going on at that venue. Go and see Leems. It's actually a really great place to support local comedy in this festival.
It is, yes.
And there's some wonderful acts working that room. Well done, Leems.
Thank you, team.
Lovely to see you, mate.
The Marty Sheargold Show. Triple M.
How'd you meet your partner? This is fun.
Yeah.
I mean, not traditional area that we'd move in.
No.
We're not looking for dating site things, are we?
No. Well, I don't really care if it's an interesting story.
All right.
But, yeah, I'm not looking for someone to ring and go Tinder.
Tinder.
Yeah. You know, and I'm going to need more than that. I'm going to need more than that.
Just in the pedestrianness of life.
Yes.
My mum met my dad because she was my granddad's secretary.
That's good.
And then my dad came in to see my granddad one day for work, and then he called back later and she was like, I'll put you through to your dad. And he was like, no, I want to talk to you.
Bam.
Oh, there you go.
That was perfect. Yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah. It didn't work out.
No, but that's not the phone.
No.
Exactly.
It's worked out for you.
The partner's had you meet you. Phone us, how'd you meet your partner?
One woman moved all the way to the USA after finding love on LinkedIn, and even though it didn't work out, she would still use the platform over Tinder or Hinge.
Nice.
LinkedIn. It's like a CV.
Social networking for work purposes.
Professional.
Yeah. They show job opportunities on LinkedIn that you can apply through that. Yeah.
In 2014, Shan Neng from Singapore was fresh off the back of a 7-year relationship, and she wasn't on the hunt for love.
No.
Right.
It's always when love finds you.
Yeah. If you're not looking for love, you're hunting in the wrong place.
Oh, you're hunting for love, you're going to settle.
Yeah, or you're going to hurt someone.
Yeah.
True.
Just stumble into it.
Love's not something to hunt for.
No. I'm so afraid of that
pop
word.
Pop out of the bushes
like
and find love. That's not love. Sian, who works in the fintech industry, first reached out to her ex-partner on a purely professional basis asking for his opinion on a product.
Okay.
It does seem innocent. Mm. The pair quickly discovered they shared not only a similar industry but also plenty of interests from video games.
From what?
Video games. To their passion for technology. Gee, what a couple.
Passion for technology.
Well, they've got a common gaming. Interest.
They've got a common interest, gaming and technology.
Nice. Yeah.
Hello, Paul.
How are we, guys?
Wonderful, Paul. How are you?
Great. First time, long time.
Good on you, Paul. How'd you meet your partner, Paul?
I was 16. I was sitting in a cafe with a mate.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the girl that everybody loved but didn't want to ask out because they were all too scared.
Yeah.
He said he was going to ask her out that night. And I thought, well, I'm going to take a shot. So I got up,
yeah,
walked out, asked her out. 42 years later, oh, 3 kids, 5 kids, and we're still going.
Oh, wow. Paul.
That's cut his lunch, Paul. Well done. That was a yes. G'day, Rob.
Guys, first time, long time.
Good on you, Rob.
Well done, buddy. How'd you meet your partner?
Mate, I met my darling wife 40 years ago this month crossing the quadrangle in high school.
How lovely.
Nice. High school sweethearts.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. It's tough, though, isn't it, Rob, to stay interested?
Mate, it's been an interesting journey. I served in the Army for a while, and that was pretty fine. And But we've got 4 lovely kids between us and 5 and a half granddaughters.
Yeah, wow. 5 and a half. What happened to the other half?
Another one coming.
On the way.
Due in May, mate. Due in May.
Yeah.
Another girl, too.
Yeah, another girl.
Wow. Oh, you're surrounded by women, Rob.
Oh, mate, I'll tell you what, it's a pretty good place to be.
Yeah, you're lucky.
Yeah,
you've been in the Army.
How many girlfriends you had, Rob?
Probably about half a dozen.
Thank you, Rob.
That is just... Didn't miss a beat.
Why would he? Why would he? He understands.
Half a dozen.
Half a dozen is such a funny way to say it.
About half a dozen.
Call us anytime.
How'd you meet your partner, Mark?
G'day, lads.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
I hope you can understand me this time, Marty.
You know I can't, Mark. I can't understand a word.
I remember, Mark.
I met my partner just nearly 11 years ago in the west of France. I was there doing my internship for college.
Hmm.
So I went into an Irish bar and to check the score on the Six Nations match. And there was an Aussie girl in behind the bar. And we just fell madly in love over summer. And then we got married in secret about 2 years later.
Didn't understand a word of that.
On Triple M, this is the Marty Sheargold Show.
What about this? A tourist claims she's fallen victim to a Roman curse after she took rocks from Pompeii.
Oh.
And she's written a heart-wrenching letter to explain how she was cursed.
Oh.
I didn't know anything about this.
Do you believe in curses? Yes.
Absolutely I do.
100%.
100%. Mm. I cursed Paul Murray once.
Did you?
Yeah, putting a letter into the freezer that was written in chicken's blood.
What, sent it into Sky News?
No, I wished that he would work for Sky News, and it ended up coming true. So there you go, Paul. You can thank me for that curse. The woman took the rocks after she visited southern Italy, and she claimed she did not know about the curse when she took the artifacts from the historical city. Babadabubak.
Well, don't take any historical artifacts.
No.
I was so hungover at Pompeii, I had to tell the driver to just give me a minute. And we went and sat under one of those misted fans and had a Peroni and a pizza.
Oh, how lovely.
I said, mate, I can't do this without something to eat and a beer. And the tour guide's like, are you serious, sir?
Was he Spanish?
He was Spanish. Like, you wanted to have it a pizza? I said, yes, I do. Are you going to have it a beer with that? I said, absolutely I am, mate. And then I'll come out and listen to you talk rubbish for an hour. Oh, the ash fell down. Shut up.
Did you like Pompeii?
Hated it.
I love Pompeii.
I really want to go
there.
It was
too old.
Too old.
So silly.
Everything was ruined.
You wanted to get back to Positano?
I sure did.
For another beer.
Just sit in the shallows. Pompeii is a popular tourist destination. It was destroyed by Mount Vesuvius in 79 AD. She sent a letter to the director of Pompeii's archaeological park when she returned the rocks. Oh. I didn't know about the curse, says this woman. Okay. Have we got the woman's name? I don't think we do. I didn't know that I should not take any rocks, she said. Within a year, I got breast cancer.
Oh, what?
I'm a young, healthy female, and doctors said it was just bad luck.
Wow. That's
when you hear the term just bad luck, suddenly you think, I bet it's because I took the rocks from Pompeii.
Mm.
Director Gabriel Zuchtriegel. Was he a film director? Shared a picture of the letter and the returned rocks on social media. A bit too late by the sounds of it. Is the woman okay?
Well, she's anonymous.
Oh, Lord. I don't know. I hope so.
I hope so too.
Because now she's giving it back too.
It should be fine now. Breast cancer goes away when you return rocks.
The Marty Sheargold Show. Triple M.
How's this for a frightening story?
Mm-hmm.
A Neuralink brain chip has been implanted in a human for the first time.
This is the future.
Oh. Brain chips, guys.
We won't even have phones one day. It'll just be all there.
I know. You were pointing to your head for those people.
No one can see it.
No, because you could have pointed out the window.
Obviously.
It was all there. Right out
to
there.
To the sky.
Near that big building.
To your knee.
Well.
It's all going to be there.
Like Emily Eyefinger.
That's my elbow, guys.
Very handy on the radio.
It's an Elon Musk initiative.
Yeah.
He's founded Neuralink. He wrote, the first human received an implant from Neuralink yesterday and is recovering well.
Ooh.
Oh. First human.
It's very Black Mirror. Mm. It's very Black Mirror.
Yeah.
I saw a funny tweet that his tweet reads like one of those logs from a sci-fi dystopian game.
Because
like
he's a robot.
In a trashed science lab. Oh, first link implanted. Oh, successful.
I would have liked to have seen a photo of the human that's doing well.
Mm. Yeah, me too.
Thumbs up.
Yeah, just a
thumbs up.
Sign of life.
Yeah, I'm fine. His eyes are playing Pong. The company aims to build communication channels between the brain and computers. I don't want to communicate.
No.
I've spent my whole life avoiding computers.
You really have. Yes. I don't want a computer in my brain.
No. I don't want a computer around me. I think they're just evil things.
You've learned to do Control V or C
or
something.
Control C, Control V.
Yeah. And split screen you've learned as well this year.
Thank you.
Yeah. And your email signature says, I can send things from my phone.
Yeah, but I've stopped. I've taken everything off my phone. You won't
They'll never catch me.
They won't listen to me. I showed them, Matthew.
Oh, yeah.
Pornhub have stopped sending me stuff. Obviously, that's a joke. The ambition is to supercharge human capabilities, treat neurological disorders like ALS.
Okay, that's amazing.
Or Parkinson's.
That's amazing.
As well as restore vision for people who are born blind.
Okay, that's amazing. If that's its purpose, then that is incredible.
That is handy.
But they're just words on a page.
True.
You know?
That is everything.
Oh, we're going to fix Parkinson's with a chip in your brain. Are you? How far down the road are you with that? Oh, well, we're not fixing Parkinson's. We're just going to put a chip in your brain. Mm. Oh, so the second bit about Parkinson's and the blind stuff, that's not happening?
Mm.
Well, not yet.
There's some good research here.
It's worked well in monkeys.
Has it? Here we go. Neuralink's never caused the death of a monkey.
Right.
Thank God, I love monkeys.
I think is wonderful.
Yeah.
I feel like I've caused the death of a monkey.
Why?
I don't know. I just feel like I've probably caused
like
the death
of a monkey. Like the butterfly effect somewhere.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, when I fall over in the forest, a monkey dies.
You
landed on him. I landed on him. Poor little fella. You should have seen his face just before my guts hit him.
The Marty Sheargold Show on Triple M.